Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Long Shot Podcast, brought to you by 342 Productions. As always, I'm your host, Duncan Robinson, and I'm here with my good friend, Davis Reed. You thought we were gone, but we're back briefly.
We had you fooled. We duped you. Yes, we are back virtually this time, but still great to be back.
Yeah, very virtually. Davis is back in Kansas City. I am back in Miami. And, you know, we talked about last week being our last episode before the playoff break. But you know what, Dave? We just decided this week has been unique in a variety of ways, particularly with the play-in. We'll get to that a little bit later. But, you know, we had some downtime this week, obviously playoff prep and all that sort of stuff, locking in on the series coming up. But at the same time, you know, we figured, you know, let's put a bow on the regular season altogether. The first 18 episodes of the Long Shot Podcast, and let's just, you know, tie it into one. And then from now we will truly actually go on a brief hiatus.
Right. Yeah. Right. We considered taking a break. Like you said, last week we were a little unsure how things were going to shake out with the play-in game, but the Heat found a way to get to the sixth seed, avoid the play-in game, which gave you a little time this week. So we couldn't stay away. We thought we'd come back, and we got some good stuff this week. We're tying up the regular season, like you said, with some NBA awards, the first annual Long Shot Awards.
The inaugural, I believe, is the word, They will be a repeating customer. They'll be back just because we feel like this award ceremony, whatever you want to call it, has a lot of potential. I think it's going to be fun. So we're looking forward to that for sure. Before we dive into that, though, Davis talked about how we finished up the regular season and avoided the play-in. I actually want to talk about a moment from those last couple of games. And for me, it's truly, and I don't say this facetiously or sarcastically, I mean this. It is one of my favorite moments I've ever experienced while wearing a Heat jersey. And that was the 3 minutes that Udonis Haslem played against the Philadelphia 76ers on a Thursday evening on TNT.
I was fortunate enough to be in the building for that. I was in Miami. And it was electric just when he got up to check in, because he hadn't played a second yet this season. Which, Dunk, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it counts as this. There's some rule where it doesn't really count unless he checks in. So he needed to get a game in. And so this was the last home game in Miami. And so he got up to check in the second quarter, and people just started to lose their minds just to the fact that he was going into the game. But then what transpired was just gold.
Yeah, we'll get to what transpired. I want to give the situation a little context first. So, you know, a big game for us. We're going up against Philly. A big game for them, truthfully, as well. They were kind of jockeying for the first seed. Obviously, they ended up getting it. But there had been reports that Joel Embiid was kind of questionable. I think he was kind of battling an illness or something. And it was actually, there were some rumors flying around that he actually wasn't even in Miami the morning of the game, and that they brought him in to play in this game. So for us, it was like, all right, you know, we're catching private flights to come play the Heat. Like, we were all fired up. And in one of our kind of like pregame talks, it was alluded to that we would be throwing basically like the kitchen sink at him. We knew he was going to be coming out, you know, trying to, you know, he's in the mix for the MVP. This was like a big opportunity to like make a statement, all this stuff. And one of the kind of comments that was thrown out there is that we're going to throw multiple centers at him. But it was specified that it wasn't going to be just two. So when I hear that, I'm like starting to pick up, like, he's not saying what I think he's saying. And then, of course, I think it was maybe late in the first, maybe early in the second. I'd have to go back and watch.
I think it was late in the first.
Yeah, late in the first. Coach Spo looks down the bench, gives the nod. Udonis Haslem, it's your time.
The place erupts.
Yeah, American Airlines, sorry, FTX Arena,
right.
Goes crazy. Everyone is on their feet. He checks in. And this is the best part. People are like, oh, you know, this is kind of feel good. You know, we're up at this point. So maybe, I don't know, people are thinking like, oh, this is kind of feel good. Udonis gets to play in the last regular season game in Miami, blah, blah, this stuff. No, this guy, UD, was coming out to leave his mark on the game. And my goodness, did he ever. I think his adjusted 36 minutes a game, whatever it is, stats were, they were like 70 points. I don't know what it was. Basically, anyways, in 3 minutes, he had 4 points. One of them should have been a dunk. He kind of got like undercut a little bit. He had the patented UD baseline jumper, a couple rebounds adding on to his franchise record rebounds that he has. But once again, the greatest of all the moments wasn't a layup, wasn't a jumper, and certainly wasn't a rebound. It was the altercation with Dwight Howard.
Right.
And, you know, Dwight is just, generally speaking, very physical player, particularly when the ball goes up in the air, whether it be rebounds offensively or defensively. You know, that's when he kind of leans into just his physicality. And, you know, if there's anything I've learned from UD, it's that, simply put, he's not going. Like, he's not having any of that. And I remember seeing the first kind of like clash. And here's the thing. People talk about, you know, because UD, he's not really, you know, he's 6'8". Probably, I don't know exactly, maybe like 235. But he is strong. Like one of the strongest people I've ever come across. His frame might not suggest that. But I know, and people know, like people certainly on our team know how freaking strong he is. So I see the first ball go up and it's like this, they have their first like clash. It's like Dwight and UD jockeying for a rebound and it stays relatively tame. I don't exactly remember what happened, but I remember turning, at this point I'm on the bench, I remember turning to Max Strus and saying, something's going to happen here. Like this is going to end in an altercation. Like I guarantee it. And then I actually, a couple of possessions later, there was like kind of a dead ball and they were saying something. And I'm like, this has double tech written all over it. Like 100%. Sure enough, we get the double tech, you know, UD thought Dwight, I don't think it was thought. I think he has some grounds there. Thought Dwight was kind of dirty with how he threw him to the ground. Of course, UD's not having any of that. Gets right up in his face, tells him about it. And you get the initial double tech. And then about 30 seconds later, UD was just, he wasn't done. He wanted more. And that's what ultimately led to the ejection. And the place just went absolutely nuts.
They went nuts. It was a pretty chippy game before that. Like Trevor got into it with Joel a little bit. There were some other skirmishes on the court. Like the intensity was high. You guys ended up beating them pretty handedly, but the intensity in that game was really high. And then, yeah, he came in and just elevated it to another level. You're talking about how strong he is. Dwight seems like a pretty strong dude too. That guy's built like a upside down triangle from his shoulders. Yeah. And yeah. To see the two of them clashing was just electric.
Yeah, I think that in general, you know, Philly's a very physical team. And we also, you know, pride ourselves on that to some respect. But, you know, as soon as UD had the opportunity to get out there, like that's something UD always talks about. Like, you know, say what you want about the Miami Heat, but we're not going to get punked. So at the end of the day, when he actually had the opportunity to be out there and have his fingerprints on the game, he was going to make sure that his physicality was felt. And there's that picture of like his finger right up in Dwight's face. It's just an iconic picture. That should be up in the rafters someday along with his number because they both deserve to be up there.
You said it perfectly. It's so funny how it started like a ceremonial thing. Like, oh, UD's going to get his seconds. He's going to check in. Hits a jumper, gets a layup, gets some rebounds right off the bat, and then just, yeah, leads to all that.
I'm like very curious, or would have been curious to see what it would have led to. Cause he was balling. Like he was playing great.
He might've gone for 20 and 10.
Legitimately. Like, and I'm not saying that as a joke. Like he has, people forget, like you know, he's obviously a legend in South Florida for so many reasons, but he has some serious game as well. And, you know, he, people, you know, that was his first time he checked in all year, but he grinds. Like, behind the scenes, he's working, lifting, always making sure he's in shape and ready to contribute.
Here's your per 36 stats for UD on the season. 48 points per game, 12 rebounds, 100% from the field, one fight per minute.
I love it. That's beautiful.
I mean, come on, it's elite.
It's truly poetic. So yeah, I just felt it would have felt disingenuous if we didn't talk about that.
I agree.
Just kind of the current events, but really this episode is about a little combination of things. One, as we mentioned earlier, wrapping up the regular season. We have some fun awards that we're going to dive into here actually right now. And then we'll just kind of talk about the playoffs, just kind of generally, not going to get too far into the nitty gritty of anything. But first let's get to these awards. What do you think?
Yeah, the inaugural Long Shot Awards. This is, look, the media is going to debate MVP, sixth man of the year, coach of the year, first team All-NBA. We're not worried about those awards.
Yeah.
This is what the people really care about, the Long Shot Awards. So, Dunk, I don't know if you want to maybe give a rundown of some of the awards we're giving out.
Yeah, for sure. So we wanted to take it in kind of a different direction, as Davis alluded to. Mind you, the awards all have working titles, like most of the yes. like most of the things we do here. We're open and willing for feedback. These are mostly kind of things that Davis and I just kind of scratch together, if you will. So basically, we have five awards, and for each of the awards, Davis and I both will nominate one player for the award. Is how we're going to do this.
Yes,
and then after each of us nominate a player, we're going to go on our social media accounts because, you know, that's where we want to hear the people's voice, the community's voice. And we will tap in with our community at large. And you, ultimately, the listener, the viewer, the friends of the program, will ultimately choose the winner for each award. So up first, let's just go, you know, one by one here. Up first, we have the Get Your Flowers Award.
Yes.
So basically, this is for all the players out there in the league who we feel had a truly underappreciated season.
Yes.
You know, whether, and that might be like statistically for sure, but also I think, you know, we're really trying to kind of also tie into like the ethos of like the impact that a player 100%. May have. Like something that's just like not going to get talked about on ESPN or not going to get talked about in other podcasts. But that's our whole shtick here. Like we're our own lane. So anyways, I'm going to take the first one.
Yeah, please do.
I feel he's one of the most underrated players in the NBA. He improved immensely this year. I thought he was really good last year, and he's improved a ton this year. He just seems like the type of guy you just want to play with, have on your team. Just kind of like a do-it-all, doesn't really get a lot of credit, but doesn't seem to be looking for it either. And that is DeAnthony Melton
yes.
from the Memphis Grizzlies. So that's my pick for the Get Your Flowers Award, a.k.a. Basically the person out there who just had an underappreciated season.
I love it. You broke that down beautifully. And I think DeAnthony Melton's a good one. I'm going to give you Nerlens Noel.
Mm.
The New York Knicks claw their way to a four seed. They've been so good defensively. And I think he deserves a lot of that credit. So I know, like you said, we don't really want to get into the stats. We're more focused on the ethos here. But yeah. I am going to give you a stat for Nerlens.
Sure.
The only player this season to average over two blocks and over a steal per game. Just very versatile, just getting it done.
I mean, I think a lot of people felt that when Mitchell Robinson went down, that, you know, that Knicks team was going to really struggle to protect the paint, or maybe not struggle, but not be as elite as they had been.
Yeah.
Nerlens has been big time in that regard. And you know, across the league, he's well known as a pretty high level rim protector. Since you gave a stat for Nerlens, I feel obligated to now give one for DeAnthony. This is a fun fact, completely going off top, but I'm pretty sure this is legitimate. I think I read it somewhere. He has the single highest jump in 3-point percentage from 1 year to the next.
Whoa.
I don't know what he shot last year. I know this year he shot 44%. I want to say he was like 28 last year. It was like 16 percentage points. I hope you're Googling this to maybe corroborate my claim. But anyways,
I have it right here in front of me. So last season he shot 28.6%.
Okay, so I just like hit it legitimately on the nose.
You kind of nailed it. This year he's 41.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to pat myself on the back too hard, but that was
pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. Yeah, all right, what do we got number two here? This is a fun one.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
We got the thrift store find of the year.
Everybody loves a good thrift store find.
Yes. You know, actually, I've heard rumors that Kansas City is the thrift store capital of the world. Is that true or false?
I don't know if I can claim the city being the thrift store capital, but there is some good thrifting going on in Kansas City, for sure.
I figured it'd either be that or Seattle. You know, Macklemore, he has the song, thrifting, whatever it is. Anyways, neither here nor there. So this is for the most impactful mid-season pickup. And we're not talking about like blockbuster trades here. We're talking about guys that maybe weren't getting opportunities that put on a different jersey and kind of stepped into their own. Or my favorite, which is actually the lane that I'm going to kind of lean into, is the coveted G League call up. Because I have a whole lot of love for my G League brethren. And it's just fantastic when one of those guys gets a call up and gets to shine.
Yeah, I mean, remember what show you're listening to here. We're shouting out the underappreciated.
For sure.
You know, the underdog. So yeah, go ahead. Who's your thrift store find of the year?
I got O'Shea Brissett, and I watched him absolutely ball out in the play-in game, the other night for the Indiana Pacers. And he's just been great ever since he's been called up. I think he started the year with Toronto, but I think he spent time in the G League. I hope I'm not just completely smoking this. As you can see, I could be a little bit tighter with my research. But but O'Shea Brissett for sure has been impactful for the Indiana Pacers. And I believe he was just rewarded, once again, could have done my research on this. I believe he was just rewarded with a multi-year deal. Here's the thing. I could be doing my research, but then again, I've like hit all of them right on the head. Right. So it's at this point, it's like I'm just throwing it in the ocean. You know, might as well just keep the good times rolling.
Sure. I mean, this is your profession, so you have a tap on, you know, a good tap on.
I should be tuned in. What do you got for thrift store find of the year?
I'm going Daniel Gafford. Mm. That guy came to Washington and just, I don't know what, he turned a corner. I'm going to give you a stat again, but since being in Washington, he was averaging 10.6 rebounds a game, 2 blocks. I mean, that guy just brought the energy too. So Daniel Gafford, that's my thrift store find of the year.
I'll say this about Gafford, and he's just a great fit around those two guys, Beal and Westbrook. He's, you know, able to play above the rim, provide some vertical spacing, is a good finisher around the rim, and protects the paint. So yeah, absolutely a great pickup for them, and it's been fun to watch him kind of come into his own. All right, moving on, two down, three to go. We got the Ice Water in Their Veins Award.
Yes, shout out to D-Lo.
Yeah, interestingly enough, he's actually not a candidate that either of us will be talking about.
Right.
But nonetheless, you know, that he's kind of patented that celebration. Anyways, this is, it's pretty self-explanatory, but basically the guy you want taking the last shot.
And remember, these are season wrap-up awards. This isn't just like anyone in the NBA. Well, this is we're looking at the resume of this year.
So here's the thing. It would be low-hanging fruit to take Dame.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously he's got the buzzer beaters this year. He hit the game winner in Chicago, which was incredible. I'm going to take a different angle. Mostly to fall in line with this podcast theme in general. And I'm going to take a rookie, a guy who in his first year hit 2 game winners. And that's Cole Anthony. And an interesting thing about the fact that he hit 2 game winners is I think they only won like 20 games. So if you think of it this way, he has the highest percentage. 1 out of every 10 games. Yeah. He's going to hit a game winner. 10 right. wins, I should say.
Yeah, yeah,
1
yeah.
out of every 10 wins, he's going to hit a game winner.
Yes.
And I like those numbers. Those numbers favor the bold.
His post-game interview after his last game winner,
all time.
Should be solely responsible for him winning this award. I mean, there are few post-game interviews you're going to find that are more entertaining.
Yeah. No, that was special to see the poise, the moxie, and actually the thing I enjoyed the most about that one was it just looked like he was like enjoying the moment and like having fun and like totally. It was like so candid. I feel like so often in those types of situations, you have to be like professional and buttoned up and, you know, give the media response. He was just like, it was like if you interviewed a kid, like honestly, and I don't mean this in a demeaning way, like it was like you interviewed a kid after you just hit like a game winner, which is like everyone's dream in the NBA, like hit a game winner in a professional basketball setting. That was pretty cool.
I don't have that much confidence about anything on this planet. Like he just, yeah, give me the ball. I want the shot. As soon as I got it, I knew it was going in. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like just, that.
I'm like that. Electric. All right. That's a pretty good nomination. I'm going to nominate our first all-star. So I'm kind of being hypocritical here after.
I mean, you're basically breaking the rules, but I'll let it slide.
I am a little bit, but again, if you're looking at resume of this year and game winners, I don't know how you don't think of Luka.
Yeah.
I mean,
fair.
The acrobatics and just the big time shots. So I'm going Luka here.
I mean, the one in Memphis was ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, it's just something you just don't see. I mean, to, and it's like one of those things where it's like, of course, you know, like you watch it and it's like he's shooting this like leaning floater off one foot. And it's like, of course, you know, it's Luka, you know.
There are some things you just can't teach. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Cole Anthony, I think, has this too. Like, these are just guys who are going to find a way. They want the ball in their hands. So that's why there are two nominations. I think two good ones there for the Ice Water Award.
Well, we'll see when the people speak who comes out on top. But anyways, number four, we have the Undrafted Player of the Year.
Yes.
So this one's relatively self-explanatory, but it's basically, I don't want to say the best season, but our favorite season from an undrafted guy. So it doesn't have to be like pound for pound the best season statistically, but more so just like an undrafted player who had a really good year and we just really enjoyed it, you know, watching from afar.
Yes.
All right. For this one, I am taking Mr. Undrafted himself, aka Mr. Bet on Yourself and Double Down, Fred VanVleet. I feel like he is now, in some respects, after signing the largest contract for an undrafted player in the history of the NBA, he's like carrying the torch for all undrafted players. Like he is now our unspoken leader in some respects.
Right. He's the blueprint.
Yeah. He averaged 20, you know, 6 assists a game, 4 rebounds. Once again, I didn't do my research, but it feels right. Just kidding. I have his numbers like right in front of me for this one. But yeah, Fred, it's just hard to argue. I think they would have had a really good year too, if not for injuries and being located in Tampa Bay. I think that also just kind of hindered their success. But yeah, I got Fred.
Yeah, I think we're even now. I give Luka for an answer. You give Fred. I think we're even. I'm gonna go TJ McConnell. That guy has just been electric all year, spark off the bench. Honestly, if the Pacers have a better record, I think he's in the sixth man of the year conversation. Mm. He's just been awesome. He's been awesome coming off the bench. He had a triple-double this year with steals.
That was special.
Just awesome.
Cleveland. Yeah, that was fun to watch. I enjoy TJ. My favorite thing about TJ is his mic'd up. If you haven't seen TJ's mic'd up, I think this is now the second time we've shouted out on here, but if you haven't seen TJ McConnell's mic'd up, please do yourself a favor and pull it up because it's absolutely fantastic. I think they're playing against it's like a combination of all the times you've been mic'd up, but the best one by far is when they play the Sixers in Indy. So obviously, you know, he played for Brett Brown and played in that organization. So he knows all those guys. So he's like jawing back and forth the whole time. And then he has this unbelievable play where he like dives, like classic TJ McConnell, like gets a steal, tips it out, lays out and dives and like taps it to somebody who then scores a layup in transition. And he gets up and he does the gladiator. He goes, "Are you not entertained?" He yells it to like a raucous Bankers Life Fieldhouse. He goes, "Are you not entertained?" And then the best part is they actually get the bit of him afterwards saying, that was the coolest thing I've ever done. And he's like going up to people. He's all giddy. He's like, did you hear what I said? I did the gladiator. I said, are you not entertained? It's so good. Anyways, that's a tangent, but
love it.
You got to watch that because it's fantastic.
Oh, I love it. All right. Moving into our last one, Dunk.
Yes. The fifth and final, we have just, you know, of course, we're the Long Shot Podcast. Of course, we're going to have the long shot of the year.
Easy money.
And this just boils down to the guy who, or girl, even though they're NBA awards, so we'll say
right. guy, actually. Just guy for now.
The guy who overcame the odds, the yes. steepest odds, if you will. And this year has been one full of, you know, fun and heartwarming stories, for sure. But I got none other than my college teammate, Caris LeVert. If we had him on the podcast, but just to see what he had gone through in terms of, you know, you think for a second after that trade and having the MRIs come back as they did, that, you know, maybe your, let alone your basketball career, but maybe your life is entirely drastically changed. And then to see him back out on the floor afterwards, and, you know, he had a really strong finish to the season, averaging 21-5. And you know, once again, I'm fortunate to see him kind of go out due to these protocols and not have an opportunity to play in these playing games is tough.
Yeah, I want to give you a hard time for showing favoritism to a teammate, but it's hard to argue against Caris's story.
He's got a great story.
Friend of the pod now too, I think we can say. So
true, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, I'm going to go Juan Toscano-Anderson.
Mm.
Guy's on a two-way all year, playing his heart out. I think back to that clip earlier this year of him diving over the scorer's table for a ball, crashing into the TVs, the monitors. I mean, just doing it all for Golden State. Gets converted, I think this month, a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Deal gets converted.
He's got a pretty incredible story. I mean, he grew up in Oakland as well, in that area. Or I don't know if it was Oakland, but at least the Bay Area. So grew up like a Warriors fan. And then to realize his dream of playing in the NBA for his hometown city is pretty special. But he just also his path. I mean, I think I remember reading somewhere that he averaged like 4 points a game as a senior in college at Marquette. Had very limited professional opportunities, went to go play professionally in Mexico.
Yep.
And just kind of, you know, meandered his way up to, like you said, getting a fully guaranteed contract is pretty special. So two great options. Interested to see who the people select on that one.
Yeah, love it. So there you go. The Long Shot Awards, there they are. Five of them. Like Duncan said, we'll post these on social media. We want to hear from you guys. Which winner or who wins each award.
So that right there wraps up the inaugural Long Shot Awards. We had some fun kind of piecing them together and coming up with some different answers. We hope you guys participate on social media. I think we're going to do some Instagram polls. Is that the direction we're leaning right now?
I think so. That feels right.
It does. So yeah, that'll be fun. But I will say, Dave, you know, first stretch, if you will, the first go around, the first 18 episodes, it's been a fun little run here. And that's not to say that maybe sounds like we're like wrapping something up, which we're not, of course. We're going to be back with vengeance after this season. But I got to lock in on a playoff run here.
Yeah, no, it's been a blast, man. It's been a blast. And yeah, you've got bigger and better things to focus on. And that's no slight to the podcast, but we're trying to win a championship. So you go lock in, and then we'll reconvene, hopefully in like late July.
Yeah, that would be ideal. I'd actually heard some whispers, Dave. Some people were asking. They were saying that while I was obviously focusing on the playoffs, they wanted you to keep the podcast going solo dolo. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I could never. I could never. It's like, you know, come on now. This is a dynamic duo here. What, you think I would just leave you behind like that? What happens if I just start having elite interviews and then I realize I don't need you at all? Like, that's a risk I'm not willing to take.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't really a trick question. I appreciate how you answered it. I mean, full disclosure, I think you could carry it on your own. But I will say, I would feel a certain level of FOMO, you know, to be tuning into the podcast and just hearing you and whomever chopping it up, I would certainly be feeling left out. So anyways, that pretty much does it for this episode. It was brief, of course, no interview, but yeah, we at least wanted to touch base with you guys before going dark here for a little bit. The social media accounts, which I'd also like to clarify this. I don't run or have anything to do with the social media accounts.
I don't either, man. I don't know who's running those accounts.
So for the record, any activity that takes place on there, I am fully removed from.
Correct. And if they start getting a little reckless with what's getting posted, I am also completely removed from both of those.
But any good content, you're like partially responsible for.
Correct. Right? If there's stuff you like, then I probably had a hand in it.
Right. Yeah, it's important to clarify these things. Anyways, thank you guys for the support over these first 18. We are certainly excited to get back to it. We have all sorts of fun ideas, particularly for the off season, that involve, you know, more stuff than just a podcast. Different content ideas that we're hoping to kind of explore. So we look forward to that. But of course, first got to lock into the task at hand. So thanks for supporting us. And I think I can now say, at least for the time being, Longshot is signing off.
Let's go win a championship.
Cheers.